Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, beard sucker.
Beard sucker?
You know, I got this.
You've got this great beard. This now, everybody, beard. We did a few live streams during the Max Fun Drive. And if I can summarize, just for folks at home who weren't able to be on the streams, if I can summarize the overall audience reaction, it was, Jordan is zaddy.
Thank you. That's what I was going for. So
you look like $1 million with this nice new beard.
Me. Thank you. I'm mostly enjoying it. I can't keep this fucking thing out of my mouth, man. I'm just sucking on this 24/7.
Oh, what I man. Do is so wait, are you sucking? Let me help me with this.
Yeah.
Are you sucking on this because of the fundamental nature of a beard, that it goes places you don't want it to go? It's the classic soup strainer situation.
Right.
Or are you sucking on this for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder reasons, that you need something to fuck with and it's just right there, right next to your mouth?
It's right there. And it really, like, it's one of those things where I start sucking.
Mm-hmm.
I put the little, like, the little area. Mm-hmm. That this area.
There's a little area above. Now, for folks who don't have beards, and I know that's a few of you, if you, the bottom of your mustache kind of just is right there on your top lip, and you can just go, and then there's that little, the soul patch underneath. And we should explain, Jordan's beard is just a mustache and a soul patch. he's a tertiary character on a 90s sitcom. The bottom
part. I'm a guy who works at the coffee shop.
Exactly. The little bottom part that sticks out below your lower lip, if you invert your lower lip, you can just put it in your mouth.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
It's a wonderful feeling.
I can, and I am.
I mean, I would say top two reasons to have a beard.
When I start driving, I start sucking. And I don't stop till I get home.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen, Jordan?
What?
You're going to get rear-ended, and you're going to bite your own lip off.
Yeah, I know.
That's what's going to happen, 100%.
And when I think about, like, I'm enjoying it. I enjoy the sucking, the beard sucking.
Yeah.
But when I think about what I'm doing, I'm like, this is fucking gross.
It's absolutely sickening.
I'm gross. This is gross. I need to get rid of this thing before my face is covered in my own drool 24/7, you know?
But let me assert this to you.
Yeah.
Almost nothing is a not gross thing to suck on.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to sucking on things,
yeah,
all your choices are gross. I mean, there's one, which is, what's that thing called that you use to sterilize laboratory equipment? A clavinet?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called a clavinet.
I was going to say, Tootsie Pop's pretty good, but it's not.
It's not.
Not the same. We're not thinking of the same thing.
Okay. If you have one of those things that you use to sterilize lab equipment, a Moog or whatever it's called, and you put the binky in there first... If you put your binky in there first, you steam it or whatever.
We're talking about a binky, Jesse.
I'm talking binkies here.
Okay.
If you take the binky out of there and you put that in your mouth, but it goes straight into your mouth.
I've made my own binky, Jesse.
Well, I know that you're finally living your dream.
I can create my own binky using my facial hair.
We know that you are like unto a god.
I have a naturally occurring binky that comes out of my face.
That's what
I've done. I've just created
the Lord's binky.
Exactly.
You don't need petroleum products to create
a
binky.
Face binky. Yeah, I'm like, this is gross. I don't know that I can prevent myself from doing it. I'm wondering if there's like some sort of like spray that you use to like keep a cat off the couch.
Like a bitter apple spray.
Yeah. Can I spray my face with something disgusting so that I associate the taste of my own beard with bitterness or rottenness or something like that?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you eat fish?
Not a lot, occasionally.
What about maybe if you rubbed it with like a fish oil? That would be good for your skin and to prevent you from licking on it.
That sounds really great.
That's what fish oil's for, right? Topical applications?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll just start rubbing and see what happens.
Look, we've all been through that period of our lives, that moment of self-discovery.
Sure. When we rub fish oil on our face to see what happens.
Yeah. Humans when we say to ourselves, I'll curious. Just rub it and see what happens, we say.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We say to ourselves. Jordan, I want to bring our guest into this conversation because she just mentioned before we went on the air her baby child. And so she's probably got a lot of binky expertise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our friend Aya Cash probably has some binky expertise from her days as a raver, past guest on the program. But this guest is a parent who has probably dealt with a few binkies in her time.
Sure.
What are
babies but little ravers? Just God's little ravers.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. That is a really good point. That's why we're always rubbing Vicks VapoRub.
Right.
Vicks
VapoRub. That's why we're always rubbing Vicks VapoRub on them.
What to do today.
They come out knowing only plur.
Yeah.
Peace, love, unity, and respect. What is? And then the world corrupts them.
Our guest on the program, a really hilarious stand-up comic, television personality, and now author, the author of the brand new, soon-to-be best-selling book, Not Funny, Jenna Friedman. Hi, Jenna. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me. Nice to see you guys over Zoom. I was thinking actually about the fish oil lobby when you were talking about fish oil, if it could be used for topical as well. My dad is a doctor and he was actually courted by the fish oil lobby. They took him out for dinner.
Big fishy?
Yeah, big fish. They took him out for like a fish dinner. That was the extent of it. He has a lot of integrity. But I was
Mr. Friedman cannot be bought.
Dr. Friedman cannot be bought.
Although he will take a nice fish dinner.
Yeah, because he believes in fish oil. He's not taking dinner with the opioid people, but he believes in fish oil. And I was just thinking about fish oil for topical beard usage. I feel like that would work.
Yeah. And
seems like fish oil is just
maybe
one
you
of
could
those
get a
things.
Fish dinner out of it too from the fish oil lobby. So
yeah, I'd take it. I mean, do I get my choice of two sides?
I'm sure.
I've been rubbing
ask
an
them
avocado.
About the sides.
ask
your
Dr.
dad,
Friedman
ask Dr. Friedman
about the
can
sides,
you,
yeah.
Can you ask if it's okay if we order, instead of ordering a main, if we just get a bunch of apps?
No fish if you don't get any. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just went to dinner. I don't even know. Actually need to find out. He told me that they invited him to dinner. I don't know if he went. I should call him and find out.
We should explain the reason that your father believes so strongly in fish oil is that he is a baleen whale.
Sure. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. That's my little secret that you'll read about in my new book.
it's weird.
Tell-all.
The reason it's called Not Funny is because it is really brutal to have a parent who lives underwater.
Yeah.
Even if they breathe air.
Yeah, sure. Your father is such a majestic creature when he breaches.
Just extraordinary. Just to see those fins break the water.
Beautiful. Such a playful creature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love his song. His song is just... I was just listening to it. He doesn't live here in Los Angeles. He lives hundreds of miles away, and yet I was listening to it live last night because it travels so far in the water.
Yeah. Well, you must be part dolphin as well.
Yeah,
because
probably.
The sonar waves or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of people say that to me.
That you're probably part dolphin.
Yeah, I hear that. I've been hearing that a lot. Since my fraternity days.
Is that why they call you Squeaky?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I'm named after Squeaky Fromm from Watergate. Is that a murderer or a Watergate person? I think it's a
Squeaky,
Watergate person.
No, I think that's one of the Manson family.
God damn it, it is. I mixed up my 70s. Is that, or am I thinking of Reggie Jackson? No, no, that's a different 70s thing. Sorry. Sha-na-na. Sure. Is it Sha-na-na?
That's, let me take that back. That's why they call you Sha-na-na. See? This all makes sense. People will be able to follow this perfectly.
Jen, I want you to know that when I was opening the package that contains your soon-to-be best-selling book, Not Funny, I was sitting at the dining room table in my home, and my daughter said to me, she looked at me and she said to me, "What are you doing? Opening your fan mail that doesn't exist because you're not funny?"
Really?
Sick. Yeah. Burn.
Yeah. Did she see the cover of the book, or was that before you opened it?
It was before I even pulled the book out. It was just serendipitous. It was just one of those moments when the universe tells you that you're doing something right. You know?
Aww.
Yeah, sick.
It was really beautiful. Do you have any binky experience, Jenna?
Is a binky a blankie, a blanket?
No, a binky is a num-num, a num-num,
oh,
a sucker.
Like a pacifier?
A pacifier, thank you.
Yeah, no, my son drools. I mean, I've never felt more boring than when after I had a kid. It's, thank you for asking about it, because it's really exciting to get into the nuances of what he sucks. but... Yeah, I'm learning. I'm getting into it. He's teething. He gets grumpy. You know, I put things in his mouth. I could talk about, I mean, I just got these like mesh pacifiers that you can stick food in because we're trying to give him food now.
Wait, I'm sorry. What?
It's like,
this is like,
you fill
if
the
he's hunger striking?
No, he doesn't, he's not, he just, like, today I just started giving him food. I gave him some mushroom soup I made, and then I realized it had salt, and then I'm, like, Googling if it's toxic to give babies salt. All I just Google everything, like, as it comes up, and then I freak myself out, and then I keep, that's basically my style of parenting.
It's essential for babies to get salt. You have to give your baby a salt lick. Does your baby not have a salt lick?
That's horses, Jesse. That's horses.
He is a horse. Jesus. My baby is a horse.
Your father is a whale. Your son is a horse.
Yeah, my baby's. I fucked a horse, and he's.
Well, congratulations, first of all.
Beautiful, like, creatures. Beautiful
minotaur,
creatures.
Technically.
That's some queen shit right there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little baby, half man, half horse.
So you, not to get into the nitty gritty here, but you had sex with a half man, half horse, and you produced full horse?
Very boring to talk about, but I had sex with a full horse. And I
What are you, the Mendel police, Jordan? Come on.
Right, what's that?
Nothing is more boring than talking about parenting and bestiality.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought I knew love until I started participating in bestiality.
Yeah. So you,
I didn't know what real love was.
Yeah, basically.
Jenna, have you ever gone to a rave?
I feel like the definition of rave maybe changed over time. Like yes.
Okay,
not,
so when you say the definition of rave has changed over time, what do you mean?
Like,
by that?
Have I been to a warehouse party where people were doing ecstasy? Of course. Mm-hmm. Was that a rave?
Natch.
Does the rave depend on the music? What defines rave?
That's a great question. That's a really, really great question. I mean, yeah, when you say warehouse and ecstasy, I think that's, you know, these are two things that you think of when you think of raves. I have never been to one. I made it, you know, out of the entire 90s without raving. But yeah, maybe if you were like in an... If you were like in a warehouse doing ecstasy and listening to slow jams, that might not be a rave.
No.
And did raves just stop like after Y2K or something? Like, I feel like after Y2K, there were just parties in warehouses. Before Y2K, there were like raves where people drank, like, licked lollipops while they were doing ecstasy and like had those things that they give out at bar and bat mitzvahs, the, you know? What I'm talking about, the
Torah readings.
Yes, yes. Was it like a Torah or like an Torah. Aliyah? Yes.
Yeah. There was a brief sort of interregnum, though, between those two times, which is the time when raves were mostly, it's like a group of vampires, and then all of a sudden, a blood rain happens indoors.
Mm-hmm.
out of the sprinkler system. And then everyone runs from the daywalker.
Yeah. That situation.
Yeah. We were all around in the 90s trying to escape the wrath of the daywalker.
I'm not a nightclub guy, but I feel like I would go... If you invited me to a nightclub, I might say, you know, I'm sorry, I got to get up early. You know, my kids wake me up at 6. I'm not... But if you told me specifically that you were inviting me to a nightclub and it was one of those like warehouse buildings with two floors and everyone is wearing black like every nightclub in a movie from 1995 to 2008, I feel like that is an authentic experience that I would want to have accessed at least once.
Yeah.
They're still going to those in John Wick movies.
Yeah, they sure are. Oh, man. And then the balletic shit they get up to thereafter.
Sure, yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Hey guys, I don't mean to be the guy to call it out here, but right. You know me. I'm a no bullshit kind of guy. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Some people say I'm too honest. Is it a little icy in here? Is it a little icy in here in this Zoom room? We're having fun, but are we? I don't know.
I was just noticing this. Jenna,
you want to break the ice.
Yeah, just so you know, I feel like we really, on Jordan Jesse Go, we try to build a spirit of esprit de corps, kind of get to a place where we know each other, we trust each other, so that we can do our best work together.
Sure.
And part of that is not allowing ice to stand between us as we relate to each other.
I understand.
Jordan, I wish there was something we could do about this.
You know what, Jesse? There is.
Holy shit.
I've been researching icebreaker questions.
Oh. Now we're talking.
We actually had a lot of fun with these on a recent Max Fun Drive related live stream, and it was just so much fun. I thought I could, you know, maybe bring some of that, you know, some of that spirit to this show, spirit of open mindedness and sharing, giving of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I actually found two really good sources of icebreaker questions. One is just kind of a website for corporate resources, signupgenius.com/business.
I'll go to any website slash business.
It's a good, yeah, go to, yeah, what's your favorite website? @/business, you're going to find some fun.
Doesn't matter. Pornhub.com/business, I mean.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Who doesn't love erotic business?
Mm-hmm.
And then I also found another good site called research.lifeway.com, and this is for icebreaker questions for Bible study groups. Let's just chop it up. Jenna, you're our guest. Which do you want to hear first, something from this corporate website or something from research.lifeway.com?
I'll start with the corporate website.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. These are fun. Let's go. Okay. This is fun. All right.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Is this fun?
This is going to be fun.
Great.
What's your least favorite fashion trend that you're opting out of this season?
Wheelchairs. Too many people use them as accessories, and yep. I'm just over it.
Some people need them for mobility. Let's leave them to those people. My first thought here, Jordan, is Binkies.
Oh.
Am I going to get canceled for a bad joke?
Yeah. That's our whole thing.
Good. I'm trying to sell the book. I need to get canceled to sell the book.
Yeah. You're like, I'm selling a lot of books in Austin for some reason.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's all of these questions are, to get people canceled.
Yeah. Good.
Jordan, what's next? I want to hear one from the Kiefer people.
But you have to answer with something that would get you canceled. That's the challenge.
The
answer to the icebreaker is something that'll get you in trouble.
What about putting little things on your Crocs? I think that would get us canceled on this program, Jordan. I think we got a lot of people who put those little things on their Crocs. You know, Crocs have little ding-dongs that you put into the holes?
Like Croc flare.
Yeah. I think if we speak up against Croc flare, that's going to get us canceled on Jordan Jesse Go.
Do you think we have a lot of Croc flare fans in the audience?
What about literacy? I think a lot of our fans support like libraries and young people reading, having access to reading. I think that would be another problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, here, let's keep breaking this ice. I think it's going great. We'll all be canceled by the end of this, ideally. This is a fun one. If the Apostle Paul were alive today, do you think he'd be active on social media?
Wow, that's a great question, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, boy. I mean, it's a question of platform, right?
Sure.
To me, it's a question of platform.
Mm-hmm.
He'd definitely have an OnlyFans. That's just me trying to get that's all I got on trying to get canceled. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He'd probably be disappointed that Elon bought Twitter.
Sure.
We're all disappointed because the guy seems like a real fucking dick.
Right. Paul's one of those guys who's like, I'm doing a Mastodon.
Yeah.
And now we're all on Mastodon, right?
It's like, I don't know. I don't even know how it's servers. That's my impression of Paul.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to get on Mastodon. I don't know. There's servers. I don't know. Discord? I don't know.
Earnestly, did either of you try to do one of those Twitter alternatives, like in those weeks when people were trying to do Twitter alternatives?
I signed up for the whale one, and not just because I have family in that.
Under the sea.
Under the sea. But what was it called? Like Squirtle or something? What's it called?
Jordan, it's pronounced under Dussy.
Excuse me.
What's it called, though, in earnest?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
A whale one. There's Mastodon.
Spoutle.
It's probably called Spoutle.
You know what I'm talking about. It's Spoutable.
Spoutable. Okay.
That sounds like a website.
I'm not familiar with it. So how far did you get, Jenna?
I just like got, I reserved my name.
At the end?
J-E-N-A Friedman. And then
is the app still on your phone?
I don't think I ever went. I didn't get the app, but I did the same thing with TikTok. When TikTok came out, I just reserved my name, put it to the side. And then recently I got on TikTok, but I was able to use Jenna Friedman because no one else took it.
That's nice. Did you make a talk?
I mean, I actually, I'm a TikToker now officially.
Congratulations. That's huge for you.
It is.
So you're going to like stop comedy writing and just.
And just talk. Tick and talk.
Yeah, Jesse, did you try to do one of those Twitter alternatives?
I went back and tried to remember if I could start using Facebook again.
Oh.
And it's pretty rough on there still. It is pretty rough. I had never deleted my Facebook account. I would use it to get parts for my tiny Japanese van. Mm-hmm. I'm in a tiny Japanese van club message board or group on Facebook. Use it to get updates occasionally about what my Aunt Debbie is up to in the world of lifestyle transition real estate in Northern Virginia. Besides that, I had not used it in a long time.
What is she up to?
She just closed on a condo.
Really? That's great.
Yeah. She's doing incredible. Debbie Miller. If anybody needs a real estate agent in Northern Virginia, check out my Aunt Debbie Miller. I have been like a heavy Twitter user since we talked about what Twitter was on Jordan Jesse Go 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much checked out of Twitter other than posting the occasional link to something I was up to. I had taken the app off my phone, could not remember what my password was. Was only logged in on one computer that I would have to go to post a link to the latest Bullseye interview. And there is a certain British comedy writer who is a TERF who was reinstated to Twitter and almost immediately tagged me in a tweet. And I was like, I don't need this in my life. But I didn't have the strength to learn how to do something new.
Yeah, I think that's how I felt.
Yeah, I think I was like, I really put a lot of work into making Twitters, and I don't know that I could develop, for example, video skills. I don't, there's a part of me that thinks, our friend Adam Conover is very good at TikTok, But it's because he can do that thing where you talk into your phone while you're walking around.
Yeah, I can't do that either. I've tried that a couple of times.
I feel like I could come up with rants. Like, if you just want someone to have hot takes on something, I could probably do that. But I don't think I could do that and not trip on the sidewalk. Jenna, what kind of TikTok content are you doing?
So I'll say two things. Well, maybe I'll say three things about TikTok.
Jenna,
Twitter,
say four things. I don't give a fuck.
And then Facebook. So TikTok. Yes. I actually, somebody reached out to me and asked if they could help build out my talk. And I yes-handed them. And so they're posting. Yes. They're posting old content of mine on TikTok. I'm not actually really engaging with the platform. But the first video they found that they posted to get like 5 million views. And so I brought them on because I was like, I don't want to look at this site. And then all of a sudden, all these people are watching something that no one ever watched before. And it's fascinating to watch. You on TikTok, you can watch people watch your stuff. It's so bizarre. And so now I'm like obsessed with the platform, but I do try to avoid it. Facebook, I was off Facebook, but then I recently got back on because I had this idea when I was writing I think I had finished writing the book and I was looking, I had this idea to have like a celebrity write the foreword, and that celebrity being Bill Cosby, but not the actual Bill Cosby, someone named Bill Cosby.
A different person with the
A different
that
person.
Name.
So the title
and
could be.
Would you ghostwrite it or would you just take what they offered?
So the joke
Does
was
Dad
like.
Write it?
Yes. Sorry. No, don't apologize. That was good pun.
One would presume that this person goes by William now.
Well, yeah. So I had to find somebody legally named Bill Cosby to write the actual foreword so I could say a book called Not Funny Foreword by Bill Cosby. And so I went on Facebook. I went back on after I'd been off for a while, and I friended all of these actual Bill Cosbys and propositioned them with this. To write the foreword. And then I didn't get anyone. And then I finally got someone, but through like LinkedIn or something, not through Facebook. And then my editor was like, maybe you shouldn't have somebody named Bill Cosby write the foreword because it's kind of insensitive.
Coward.
And I'm like, you're right.
Coward.
No, it's. You know, but I'm, but
probably good. Yeah.
And then just 2 days ago, one of the Bill Cosbys reached back out to me. But also then my friend was like, they might not actually be named Bill Cosby. They could just be fans of the actual Bill Cosby. And then that's weird.
Who are like using that as their screen name?
Or just, yeah, I don't know. They're just.
Wasn't like one of the OG like famous Twitter things, just someone who just where their handle was Bill Murray and they just like tweeted memes and people like assumed it was Bill Murray anyway.
100%. That's why they invented the verified check. That and they needed it to be safe for celebrities to use Twitter without being impersonated.
Best $9,000 I ever spent.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I'm impressed to hear, Jenna, that you had the courage to go on LinkedIn.
I actually didn't. A camp friend of mine who is
who
a
you had
very,
reached out to through
no he's
through
a
Facebook.
Fan of my comedy reached out to me and he was like, do you need help finding, because I was like tweeting about it or something, do you need help finding a Bill Cosby, because I reached out to 20 or 30 and none would talk to me. He found a Bill Cosby through LinkedIn. That Bill Cosby, his name is William, to your point, and he's like a sixth generation William Cosby, and he was like, I'll write it, and we were all set to go, and then I just kind of pulled the plug, but I paid him a stipend anyway, just for
That's
his
really
time.
Nice. What does he do? What is
he
the next most famous
in retail.
Bill Cosby do?
He just works in retail. Yeah.
It's a good business. People
I don't know.
Products.
I don't like that business.
Retail?
Yeah, I think manufacturers should be going direct to consumer.
Well, they are. That's what's happening.
Yeah, via podcast specifically.
Yeah.
You don't see fucking Aeropostale advertising on Jordan Jesse Go, Jordan. If I got one, if we sold one spot to Aeropostale, if Limited 2 bought one ad on Jordan Jesse Go, I'd be pro retail. You know how many? Goose egg.
Zero.
Goose egg. The goose egg's back, and this time it's retailers advertising on our show.
But then you
direct
can
to consumer.
Do your Les Wexner.
Ren Weschler?
Yes, the one, the Epstein's friend, the kind of like closeted like guy who made Limited 2. I was always fascinated with Limited 2 because I was a fan of it when I was like a little preppy kid. And then all of a sudden it started selling thongs to tweens. And then if you like follow Limited 2 up the whatever, you used Les Wexner.
It's actually pronounced Vicks VapoRub.
Vicks VapoRub. Friends with Epstein.
You know who was friends with Epstein that I just learned? Frank Lids, LIDZ. He's good friends.
The founder of Lids hat store.
The baseball hat store, Lids.
That's kind of a situation where Wetzel's Pretzels, the guy is actually named Wetzel.
On the guest book for Epstein's Secret Island, mm-hmm. they found a cryptic entry that just said, "Oh, Julius."
Guys want to grab a couple of Juliuses and then come back for some more?
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
I'm sure you've noticed how giant corporations are controlling more and more about what we consume, whether it's our food, our news, or even the shows we enjoy.
The Greatest Generation is a show that stands up to big Star Trek and says no. We can laugh about costumes that fit too tightly in the groin area.
We can make a Star Trek podcast that's basically only about that.
The Greatest Generation. The show for free and independent thinkers about Star Trek.
And the groins of different costumes.
Reviewing every episode in order.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org. You'll be doing your part in telling the Star Trek industrial complex that they can't control your mind.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jenna Friedman, Canada's Jesse Thorne.
Wow, that's big. Big if true, as they say on the internet. Big if true. Jenna, of course, got famous on the Royal Canadian Air farce,
mm-hmm.
or possibly This Hour Has 22 Minutes. That's all the Canada stuff I know. I've literally Drake on Degrassi.
I got famous on Drake. There was a photo of us on TMZ. I'm literally physically on Drake.
You guys are both crying at a Raptors game.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I got a text message I just wanted to run by you in case you have any feedback. This came from, I didn't have this person in my address books. I'm not 100% sure who it is. I presume it's someone I know. It's, if this number rings a bell, 605-566-7582. Does that ring a bell with either of you guys?
No, can you, okay. Is it okay to give out someone's phone number like it's, that?
It
Are
says,
we doxing them?
It says, are you a puppy seller? Now, where do you live?
Now, comma, where do you live?
No, I gave it the, I sort of implied a comma. There isn't. It just says, now, where do you live?
Boy, are you a puppy seller? Now, where do you live?
Mm-hmm.
That's code.
How does that scam play out? Ideally, how does that person get anything from you?
Wait, this is a scam?
No, that's child trafficking lingo.
Oh, I got it. I see. This is a Pizza Planet thing. Is that what that was called? Pizza Planet.
I think that's
right?
The pizza restaurant from Toy Story. All kinds of crazy shit going on in that place.
Okay, so you say this is a scam, Jordan. How am I going to get rid of these fucking puppies?
You're lousy with puppies over there.
I feel like I'm in over my head with these puppies.
I got 101
of these fucking things.
I can call my friend Miss DeVille, and she will gladly shepherd them away to a new home.
Let's assume that it's
wink,
a scam.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure it's a scam because it feels like a threat. Is there a PETA where they're against selling puppies? I guess all PETAs are against. They want you to rescue the puppies.
Sure, yeah. I would say just go to your, you know, neighborhood PETA branch.
And ask if this is a threat?
Uh-huh. What do you, okay, well, if it's a, let's suss out why do you think it's a threat? What's the possibility here?
Let me say it. I'll read it one more time. I think you're going to understand.
Okay.
Are you a puppy seller? Now, where do you live?
Maybe you think this is kind of a radical animal rights person who is kind of tracking down and, you know, John Wicking puppy sellers.
They're going to come to your house and paint it red. What if you want a red house?
That would be nice. Right. It's like a school. Like a school.
I've
house
ordered
kind of
so
thing.
Many hits that way. I
you want your house to look
so
like it
hits.
Was like splashed with blood.
If you're a country school, let's say you're a country schoolhouse and the town is dying. Mm-hmm. You know how it is in rural America. You've got a country schoolhouse. The town is
opioid
dying.
Crisis.
All you got to do
running
is buy
rampant.
One cheap, like a raccoon fur. You know, it doesn't have to be a mink. Get a raccoon fur. Call PETA. Tell them to bring the red paint. You're good as gold.
Right.
You got a fresh, clean country schoolhouse then. It's my perfect idea. Day. Yes, of course it's a threat. The idea is that one of these PETAs heard I'm selling puppies and they want to know where I'm at so they can come kick the shit out of me. And the honest truth is they probably can.
Yeah.
You don't think it's a threat. Do you think it's some kind of scam?
Just answer, hello, yes. I'm Jordan Jesse Go producer, Matt Lee. Here's my address.
By the way,
you're going to have to fight off whoever PETA's John Wick is.
Let me read Matt Lieb's phone number real quick.
555 hunk, am I right?
I do think that's a good question, what the scam would be with this puppy scam. I mean, like, let's say I say La Jolla.
Sure.
Hell, let's say I say Lincoln Heights.
Okay.
In Los Angeles, a real neighborhood where I actually live. Let's say I say that out loud. What's their next move? And I say, no, I don't sell puppies.
Yeah, I...
Sorry I wasted your time. I'm having a really hard day.
It's really hard to buy puppies these days because of the pandemic.
I wanted to connect with a stranger.
Let me Venmo you $40.
Let me Venmo you $40.
That's usually how those work out.
Maybe... Do you think it's possible that they're trying to scam people by just blanketing? It's cheap to send fake texts now.
Sure.
They're just blanketing people with texts, trying
to
find
your credit card information.
Well, that their target here, they're spraying broadly, but their target is they figure if they send 10 million texts, they're going to hit at least 40 or 50 people who are selling puppies. And they're fucking golden when that person gets that text message. Because they're, I'm selling, I got baby blue pits. What do you need?
And then you raise that puppy with another animal, and then it takes on the characteristics of that animal.
Like Jenna's baby.
Million. Yes, exactly. Her horse baby.
Who, Pan.
Yes. The horse baby who occasionally has to visit her father whale. This horse is acting like a whale.
Listen, when something momentous happens to you, like you finally meet your father whale, your absent father whale, you've only heard his song. You've never actually met. Well, you met him that one time when he breached. Incredible.
Very briefly.
Majestic. When you were on.
Like, wow, Dad. So that's why I'm covered in barnacles.
You know, I think.
I get it from you.
I know that I've talked a lot about this show over the years, but retrospectively now, I understand that the public television program, The Voyage of the Mimi, starring a young Ben Affleck, was actually about that young Ben Affleck reconnecting with his father, who was a whale. They weren't just any whale watching boat. It was a mission.
He was just looking for, what they were watching for was closure.
Yeah. And then the deaf woman taught him how to get fresh water by putting a triangular tarp up and gathering condensation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I've always wanted to try that.
Yeah. God, I'd love
that. That'd be
fun. You know, I would love to try that too. Never met Ben Affleck. Never had the opportunity.
He's got all the tarps, right?
this guy's fucking lousy with tarps.
Yeah.
You want a tarpaulin, you got to call Affleck.
Hey, J-Lo, don't move my tarps, he says.
I'm deeply troubled.
But it's kind of funny when I come out of a Dunkin' Donuts.
Anyway, if when something momentous happens to you, give us a call, 206-984-4FUN, or send us an email address at jjgo@maximumfun.org. One person who's done that is this person.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, possible guest. I'm going to guess Eliza Skinner. This is Jeremy in Seattle. I was just driving, and it's a rainy day here, and I saw a lady reach her hand out of her open window, rub it on the wet roof of her car, and then use her wet hand to style her hair in the mirror at a red light. I thought this was pretty odd, but also somehow genius. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Love you too, Jeremy. And you know what? Love to all the Jeremys who are listening to Jordan, Jesse, Go right now. Yes. I feel like probably 40-50% of our audience are named Jeremy.
Oh, such beautiful Jeremys. We have the most wonderful Jeremys.
Jen, I don't know what the Jeremys are like in your TikTok audience, but here in our podcast audience, these are gorgeous Jeremys. Just beautiful hearts.
Eliza is my name, and I like the name Jeremy also. Yeah.
I found myself unexpectedly moved by this call.
It's, I mean, yeah.
Because of the rain, the image of the rain, of a woman reaching out to the rain on her car to make herself feel beautiful. Because I don't know if it worked aesthetically, but.
No, she was gorgeous. This was, Matt edited this part of the call out, but it was Kathy Ireland.
Oh, well, no, I'm just saying, you know. It's not about what you look like, but it's about what you feel like. So if you're reaching on your roof to grab as much water and put it in your hair, that act alone makes anyone feel beautiful.
I want to say something real quick to the Jeremys in the audience. Jeremy, I think that you're beautiful, and I want you to think that you're beautiful. In fact, I want you to know that you're beautiful. Jeremy, to me, you are Jeremy Ireland. Mm. Jeremy K. Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Can I talk to the Jeremys real quick?
Jordan, Jenna, do you mind if Jordan?
Yeah, and then I want to talk to the Jeremys.
Okay, you want to talk to the Jeremys first? Or
no,
should
I want you to go first.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay, go ahead.
Jeremys, you're so much better than the Dougs. Compared to you, the Dougs fucking suck. Ugh, Dougs make me sick. I'm so glad you're out there making this all worth it. And the Dougs are just out there doing what they do, which is taking, shoving our hard work in their fat Doug maws.
Jeremy's and I pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's, me, Kathy Ireland, Cindy Crawford,
Yowza,
and Ferrari Testarossas all pay taxes. And these Dougs are getting off easy.
I know. They don't want to work anymore.
Are there any Jeremys, are there any serial killers named Jeremy?
That's a great question.
Probably.
Well, they just haven't gotten caught.
Most serial killers are named Doug. I mean, that's
true.
I don't know if you watch The Profiler.
Yeah, Doug Ramirez.
Sure. Doug.
Doug,
you know, Frome. Zodiac.
Sure, Doug Zodiac.
I guess.
Jenna, do you want to talk to the Jeremys?
Jeremys, how does it feel to have a name that evokes so little animosity?
They can't, so it's a unilateral medium, so they can't in real time talk back to you, or do you consider
yes, I don't know what podcast you're on, but I just heard three Jeremys speak to me.
All right,
they said it feels fine. It's not a hindrance. It's not.
Can I ask a question? I looked at your the press release for your soon-to-be best-selling book, Not Funny.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, there was a paragraph medium about people that was really focused on your dental fillings. Mm. Is that because of the Jeremy speaking to you through them?
Yeah.
Jenna, let me ask you one more question. Was
okay.
Jenna your given name, or is it more of a nickname?
Eliza. And is it... It's Eliza was my given name.
Okay,
and Jenna is what people call me when I'm not on stage, yeah.
Is Eliza short for Doug?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, Jesse. That was a little harsh. Come on, man.
I don't know. She's
nice
the
enough
one who's
to come on the show.
She's the one who's fucking... I don't even know. I don't know, Jordan. I don't even fucking know.
Okay.
I bet she's a retailer.
Okay, hold on. Let's all calm down.
I bet Jenna Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
If I was gonna guess, I bet she's runs the Sharper Image.
That sounds anti-Semitic.
All right, two out of three of us are now canceled. What about this? Let's go to break. I'll see if I can get myself canceled in our final segment.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jessica. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. Hi, I'm Jackie Cation.
Hello, I'm Lori Kilmerton.
We do a podcast called The Jackie and Lori Show, and you could listen to it anytime you want it because there's hundreds of episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing comedy forever, and we should both quit. So why don't you listen up before we leave this not only terrible business, but this awful world.
And find out why we can't. Because we love it so.
Jackie and Lori Show. Every week here on MaximumFun.org.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jenna Friedman, not yet convicted sex offender.
Congratulations on that, Jenna. Congratulations, because every American, no matter how heinous, in my opinion, Jordan deserves a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
Deserves to go before a jury of their peers and present evidence in their own defense.
Unless they're named Doug, let me just string them up in the town square, right?
Yeah, into the fucking lake with you.
Yeah.
They say throw a Doug in the lake and if he floats, he's a witch.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that expression.
That famous expression from Bartlett's Familiar Quotations.
Mm-hmm. Now you know where it's from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jenna, your new book, Not Funny, is very funny.
Yeah.
I was reading it today, yucking it up.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. What part specifically?
The archaeology part.
I really liked, I will say, as someone who has been, you know, at once enriched and traumatized by the improv industrial complex. I felt that your sharing your experience as a young person interested in comedy going through improv, and you are able to balance the this thing woke me up and made me feel creatively fulfilled in a way that I'd never felt before. But also, it's kind of a weird cult, and the people in it are often monsters.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I did write about my experience in that world. It is so. Wait, you did? You have experience doing it?
Oh yeah. So I, you'll be shocked to know, shocked to know that I
stunned.
Did a lot of improv.
Oh, cool. Where?
At the Upright Citizens Brigade, little theater out there on Franklin.
And in high school.
And in high school and college.
Yeah.
Did some comedy sports with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were briefly on a stripping improv team, but we we got cut really fast.
I don't think we were ever on that. Did we? I think we
Is
auditioned
that real?
But didn't get in.
No, I think we were on it for a week and then got cut.
Oh, yeah. So there is in Santa Cruz, where Jesse and I went to college, there are, like, there, I think, were at the time. I think it's gotten better these days, but there were, like, limited comedy performance opportunities. It is a beachy college town. I think there is one bar called the Crow's Nest where, like, you know, maybe you would see, like, Kathleen Madigan once a year or something.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Kathleen Madigan's playing the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium.
That DNA Comedy Lab, right? Is that there now? DNA's Comedy
after
Lab?
After our time, but yeah, I think that is there now.
The Lost Boys.
Yes.
Yeah, that's something else that, yeah, well, sure.
For the guy who played saxophone in The Lost Boys.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I think the one like comedy institution Santa Cruz had when we went there was a group that like stripped while they did improv. Like if they made a mistake, the audience would yell strip and they would take something off. I think the gag was, or one of the, I mean, a lot, there were a lot of gags, but they just wore so many layers that nothing like salacious ever happened.
There's something so funny about, like, what could make improv more awkward? Just, sure, like, naked people.
You know what, though? I've always found that improv is an incredible opportunity to kind of bare my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be afraid to bare my body in that context. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm really connected to the other performers and the audience.
It's definitely less embarrassing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, people enjoy stripping.
Yeah.
That's like fun to watch.
Yeah. But like a mother-daughter scene about cancer.
Sure.
Nobody would watch improv showgirls.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the way you write about that in your book, I thought was really like, you really do a good job of saying, because I think sometimes people can talk about improv like, people talk about like punk rock sometimes. It's like, it saved my life, man. It saved my life in this way that like makes you realize that they don't see the bad parts of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And anyway, I thought the way you wrote about it was really interesting and I
and
I really appreciated it.
Thank you.
Well, you got enmeshed into improv almost backwards. Like you didn't intend to go do improv and comedy for your entire life. You went in there pretty sincere.
Yeah, I was a nerdy student just writing a paper. I had no idea. But as you know, it's so addictive. And when I found Improv Olympic and that you could actually, that people actually did this thing where you were like your own writer, director, and performer at the same time, I couldn't believe how cool that was. And so it's my rosebud. I know that sounds cheesy. I haven't done improv in like a decade, but I did totally fall in love with it.
When did you find out how not cool it is?
I always knew it wasn't cool. I mean, I never thought it was cool. I thought it was cool that people were able to, like, in Chicago at least, like, make a living just playing make-believe as adults. I thought that was cool. I never thought improv, like, never was I like, zip, zap, zop is, you know, the future. But
maybe if our lawmakers would do a little zip, zap, zop before they met for Congress.
I mean, it is a future when you think about the singularity and, you know, the robots, but
I'll say this for the coolness of improv. I know I just made some jokes at its expense, but wouldn't you say that the original improviser was Mr. Miles Davis?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ugh. Yes.
Yes, yes, and. Yes, yes, and,
yes,
Jordan.
And.
John Coltrane as well.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Bob Dylan. Who could forget?
Oh, my gosh.
The master, Bob Dylan.
And I can't let this slide without mentioning...
Jody Arias.
Yes, yep. Jody Arias. Oh. Oh.
Just incredible stuff. Mr. William Shakespeare and the Apostle Paul.
Of course. I saw Shakespeare and Jody Arias at a little club, 50 seats. They played till 3 a.m.
John Ross Bowie dropped in. John Ross Bowie.
All the greats.
Was there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and hey, quite a blurb collection on this thing, huh? This book.
Yeah. Oh, the book? Yeah, thanks.
A lot of good blurbs.
Yeah.
You had the Reverend William Cosby. Different. Yeah. That's a different third.
Well,
Cosby.
He blessed it, but I. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
What do you send? Did you send out a mass email, or are you sending text messages one by one?
To ask people to buy it.
Yeah. Or... No. To ask people to blurb it.
To ask people to blurb it.
Are you? Have you thought about sending out a text? Can I suggest
buy my book?
An opener. Now where are you?
Now where are you?
Are you selling books? Now where are you?
I'm in La Jolla. Ask for Matt Lieb.
Yes, I'm gonna do that. That's a good idea.
When our friends in the San Francisco sketch comedy group Casper Hauser came out with their first book, Sky Mall. Happy crap you can buy from a plane. One of the funniest things in the history of the world. They needed blurbs, and they emailed me and they said, "Oh, do you think you could like send it to Patton Oswalt or whatever?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And Patton was nice enough to blurb it. And then they were like, "Well, our dream is to get David Foster Wallace to blurb it." And their
is that why
publisher
he killed himself.
This was before he passed away.
But that didn't, that's not why he, okay, keep going.
No, that wasn't, no. It didn't lead to his passing.
Are you sure?
I'm not 100% on it. I didn't watch that movie with Jason Segel.
Okay, because they didn't name the people who asked for the blurb, but they
It
alluded.
Just said it was the San Francisco sketch comedy yep. group in the
and
movie.
And then he had had enough.
We'll sit here while you watch the movie, Jesse.
Sorry, keep going. I'm sorry.
Their publisher had somehow connected them to Dave Barry, who had been kind enough to blurb the book. They were not personal friends with Dave Barry, but they had seen Dave's World, and they emailed him or whatever, sent him a copy of the book, and he signed it. And they got David Foster Wallace to blurb their, like, novelty parody book. Again, a legitimately brilliantly hilarious one, but like their novelty parody book, by writing him a letter at the university where he taught. They just like fucking showed up at his office hours basically with a book and got him to blurb the book. And that blew my fucking mind. Did Dave Barry blurb yours at all, Jenna?
No, but what
Just Sacha Baron Cohen, not Dave Barry from Dave's World.
Yeah.
Just Sacha Baron Cohen, not Pulitzer Prize-winning humor columnist Dave Barry.
Dave Barry also blurbed it.
I don't think that's true, Jenna.
Well, when
you don't
talk
look
about...
like you're telling. I'm not going to say I'm not a professional poker player, but I can see or tell, and I don't think that Dave Barry actually blurbed your book.
Well, Dave Barry blurbed my book. I mean, there are a lot of them. So
David, from LinkedIn.
David Barry.
Nice, LinkedIn.com.
Yeah, nice yeah. Manager of a Sbarro.
Dave Barry from Barry's Bootcamp also.
Oh, I forgot I had to get canceled. I know we're starting to wrap up. I just got to get canceled real quick.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesse, you mentioned universities earlier.
Yeah, sure. Universities where some people go after high school to further their educations.
Yeah, well, I think that the kids at those universities, it's really great that they're working for a better future for themselves. I just can't do
you
it.
You fucked my, it up, Jordan.
My
you
takes
fucked
are
it
just
up.
Too pristine.
Ugh.
Oh, my takes, they're just too good.
Jordan.
Oh, I can't do it. I wish I could get canceled.
All
I
you had to
can't.
Do was say that they were one slur.
I
it could have been any
I
slur.
Can't do it.
You
it
know, this is
going to
be like
slur.
The sound bite for when you really do get canceled.
Yeah. Everyone clip this. Save it in a folder marked Jordan's comeuppance.
Jenna Friedman's book, so funny and actually insightful as well. It's a memoir and some insights, some broader insights as well. It's called Not Funny. Really enjoyed it. And if you're not familiar with Jenna's work, Jenna truly is one of the funniest out there. Like, watch her comedy special. It's on Peacock. Watch her Adult Swim specials, which are among the funniest things ever. Get familiar, because Jenna is so sharp and hilarious and terrifying and brilliant. Really,
terrifying.
Really tremendous work. Thank that you. Jenna Friedman does. So do check it out. Thank you, Jenna, for joining us. Our theme music, Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Our thanks to them. And of course, thanks to our friends at the real estate website Zillow for using that song in a commercial. And now everyone emails us about it. Thanks, Zillow. We look forward to our residuals. You can find, Jordan Jesse Go, produced by Matt Lieb. Thank you, Daniel Zafran. Thank you, Daniel, for all of your great service to Jordan Jesse Go. It was a pleasure and a joy to work with you. Daniel has a new podcast, Jordan, about the history of candy. Jordan, Daniel has been doing a podcast, but he's already a humorous history podcast veteran, thanks to his Los Angeles history comedy podcast, L.A. Meekly. But his new podcast is called Candy is Dandy. We would encourage everybody to go check that out. But Matt Lieb, our new producer, welcome aboard, Matt Lieb.
Happy to be here. Very excited. I also went to college with you guys.
That's true.
That's right.
We all went to college together.
How come you weren't on our improv team?
Oh, I'm not good at...
too much self-respect. Yeah.
I can't think on my, what do you call it?
You know, the little walkers.
The little flipper guys on the ends of their legs.
The walk and runs, you know.
Yes. Little flappies. Our producer emeritus, Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. You can find us on social media at Jordan Jesse Go on Twitter, at facebook.com/JordanJesseGo, on Instagram at Jordan David Morris, and at put.this.on. And thank you, of course, to all of the folks who became members of Maximum Fun during the Max Fun Drive. We owe it all to you, and we could not be more grateful. Thank you. You rule. You own every member of Maximum Fun, the folks who have been members. I heard from folks who have been members. Somebody told me today that they have been a member since you had to send a PayPal to splangy@splangy.com. Beautiful. That's truly gorgeous. Thank you. We owe it all to you. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.